All right, I think a fun exercise to start the podcast with, and if it doesn't work, we'll just edit this out and start over again, is for each of us to guess what the other one did on Halloween. So, Josh, what do you think Chris did on Halloween?
He probably went trick-or-treating with his kids and ate half their candy before he got home.
That's what I was going to guess, too. I was going to guess, like, a quarter of the candy, but...
False. I did go trick-or-treating with my kids. I did not have a single piece of their candy.
And I bet he dressed up as a sexy cat.
Almost. The spandex was a little tight this year, so I went with the Frylock costume for the 12th consecutive year.
Is Aqua Teen Hunger Force still even a thing?
No. I had a lot of confused faces around them. All right. Sidewalks last night.
I'm going to guess that Josh went to a rave of some sort, dressed up also as a sexy cat. Not accurate? Okay. Good job, Josh.
Wait a minute. Chris has. I was going to see if Chris did.
Oh, I have no clue what you did.
Yeah,
you
I didn't do anything. It was on a Wednesday. I don't drink or go out on school night, so just wasn't into it this year, fellas.
All right.
I bet Sinone sat on his couch and ate pizza, and he had two extra slices that made him feel fat shame.
I ordered stuffed crust pizza from Pizza Hut, and I finished up all the stuffed crust portions of it, and there's still some normal pizza left in the box.
This is what happens when your wife goes away.
All right.
I thought Brendan, and my guess for Brendan was he probably sat at home with a crate full of candy, and as soon as the first kid came by and he gave him one piece, Brendan started panicking, wondering if he was going to run out of candy on the night.
That happened too, but I bought a backup bag and I get to eat all of it now because they didn't finish it.
You were probably like pacing back and forth. Oh my God, am I going to run out of candy? What are these kids are going to egg my house.
Well, you know, I tell the kids to take like a handful nicely and they took like five handfuls and they didn't even say trick or treat.
He preemptively had his mailbox destroyed before Halloween, so he didn't have to worry about that happening.
It's true. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, City of Tallahassee cleanup crew. All right. With the Knowles 24/7 podcast, this is Brendan Sinone. Josh Newberg, Chris Nee joining me, and we're going to do a recruiting episode today. So we've taken some questions. We're going to answer your guys' questions off of the Twitter. But basically, I want to get your two thoughts on the official visit weekend that was for Florida State and how that was. So, Josh, you did a really good VIP post story on intel from the official visitor list. And let's start with I'm not going to be able to say his name right. They just call him Q, right? Q Crouch from
Quaveris Crouch.
Quaveris Crouch. Jesus. From North Carolina, five-star recruit, big-time guy that Florida State wanted to get down here. They got him on the official. Friend Sam Howell was there on an unofficial. So, Josh, take the lead there. Let us know what you got from him.
Early in the week, the rumor, believe it was Rivals, Adam Friedman reported that Crouch was going to come in on an unofficial visit early in the week. And I said that would be best case scenario because I said if this ends up being an official visit, I think it's a sign that this is a recruitment that Florida State doesn't really have a shot in. And by the end of the week, we confirmed it, that it was going to be actually an official visit. So I got to keep that same energy right now and just explain that him coming in right now, by the time he goes to signing day, I mean, this visit's going to be so far in the rearview mirror. It also shows that what I felt all the time with Quaveris Crouch was that he really genuinely likes Willie Taggart and what's going on at Florida State, but I just never bought into the hype. For a long time throughout the summer, you know, I was the bad guy because I was saying that FSU really doesn't have a shot at Crouch. And now that he just came in for an official visit, I can say confidently, FSU doesn't have a shot at Crouch. I think partly he came to see Clemson. Two birds, one stone. I'm not saying he came to see Clemson, but I think that was an incentive for him to move that official visit up early. So he's going to Michigan this week. He'll go to Clemson. I don't know if he'll take another outside of that. But this recruitment's going to be out of reach for Florida State.
Yeah, I think he'll see South Carolina in addition to the schools that Josh mentioned. At the end of the day, I think it comes down to Clemson or South Carolina. I think the thing helping Michigan is that he has a former coach who is still a mentor for him, who has some Michigan ties, likes Michigan. So I think that helped to get them in the door. And with FSU, he's friends with Sam Howell. Some people make it out to be more than it is, but it is a good friendship. They do like each other. They both speak of each other when they're talking about it. and that helped FSU get in the door. It's why I got here for an unofficial, came back with mom and grandma for the official. It's always good to get a kid in for an official, but it would be a surprise if he ended up at FSU. I think at this point, our crystal ball reads, I believe, 100% for Clemson. Fully expect at this point for him to end up there in Clemson.
Yeah, we've just been doing this too long, and I think you know when a kid's coming, you know when maybe a kid's coming, and you know when a kid's not coming. And this just has one of those vibes. If they were really going to have a shot, I think Crouch would have taken a visit later on. I think Michigan's pretty much in the same boat as Florida State. I don't think he's seriously considering them, although I do believe he has interest. And, you know, when I say FSU doesn't have a shot, that's relative. Everybody in the country offered this kid and tried to recruit him, and FSU is one of the four or five schools that he's considering down the stretch. But when it comes down to, like, Clemson or maybe even South Carolina, I don't think FSU's in the same ballpark with Crouch as those programs.
And this is another situation where family dynamics are in play. He's very close to his mother, very close to his grandmother from North Carolina.
And they don't really have the means to get very far to go see him.
So it would be no surprise to see him stay closer to home and go somewhere like Clemson, a winning program that's just over the state border for him.
All right. Rousing stuff, guys. Just really optimistic. Let's go to the other official visitors. It was a pair of teammates and really good friends from Louisiana. It's five-star offensive lineman Cardell Thomas and four-star running back Ty Davis. Chris, I'll defer to you here. You got to speak to both of them as they exited on the official visit. I guess thoughts on how that went?
They're a package deal, so you had to bring both in. It was both or nothing. Cardell is more the FSU target here. FSU would take Ty Davis. They're willing to take a running back. But ultimately, they're looking for Cardell Thomas. They need an offensive guard. And with Cardell, came in July, came with family. They all returned for this visit. They've spent roughly 8-9 days on this campus between the two visits. There's certainly interest, but in this whole situation, LSU needed to screw it up more than anything, and LSU hasn't screwed it up. They've done a good job recruiting the kid. They've been successful on the field. He has a great relationship. It's in his backyard. It would be a surprise if he goes anywhere but LSU. He visited Penn State before visiting Florida State. I expect him to see USC and LSU before he signs in December and enrolls in the summer. I fully expect him to sign with LSU, and that's the case for both of them.
They are a package deal very much. So that was clear.
Yeah.
Josh, anything to add on that?
No. I think Cardell Thomas said it best after the visit. I'm a Tiger. I believe that. We've said since the even when the Cardell Thomas hype was at its peak, coming off of that what seemed like a week-long visit with him and his family to Florida State, everything that we said positive about Cardell to FSU hinged on the fact that LSU needed to struggle and there needed to be some turmoil, which, you know, all the experts thought was going to happen this year, and it hasn't gone that way. LSU's had a really good season for what was expected. So nothing really changes with my thoughts. That did happen. And then I do want to address, a lot of people asked, Chris hit on it too, the package deal thing with Tyrion Davis coming in. A lot of people asked, like, why FSU would bring him in. And it's because, say, at the off chance Cardell Thomas does flip, you can get both of them.
Yeah.
But Davis isn't going to flip to FSU sight unseen. So it's kind of like, if we're bringing in Thomas, we might as well bring in Davis, because if we are successful with Thomas, we're going to land Davis too. It wasn't like they were bringing them both in and thinking that, oh, we have a shot at Davis, let's get him on campus. It was more of like, it was just, you got to. And I thought it was a smart move to bring him in. You might as well. So
it's all about positioning. Ty Davis is a good enough running back to take. It's not like he's just a throwaway you're adding to get a good player. Mm-hmm. He is a talented kid in his own right. He would help the running back room here. But it's all about positioning. It's all about if something does go south with LSU here over the next 6 to 8 weeks, you're in position. Truthfully,
Chris, when Coach O gets hired as the head coach of the Browns, Thomas and Davis are flipping.
Can you imagine that dude in Cleveland? That's a fish out of water if I've ever seen one. But FSU's positioned themselves. They're the second team. They're going to end up the second team unless something drastically changes. But there's nothing wrong with that. You take a shot at a guy like a Cardell Thomas because he's probably a day one starter, and on this offensive line, he almost certainly would be.
All right, more rousing stuff, guys. Really just optimistic. Unofficial visits. There were a bunch for the Clemson game, and Josh, I'll kick this to you. There are a bunch of guys from IMG that were up here in Tallahassee. Evan Neal and Trey Sanders, the headliners. Headliners, obviously five-star guys. Jaleel McCray, then Mikal Jones, pretty good linebackers in their own right. One of those is a Florida State commit in McCray. And then Dante Lucas, four-star offensive lineman committed. So that's five big-time prospects from IMG that were up here. I guess how did that go with those guys?
Did you mention Trey Sanders and Evan Neal?
I did. I rambled a little bit, but I started with
them. You know how Josh gets. About 10 seconds later, he forgets what you just said.
Yeah, you got a little long-winded with that question. You could have just said, hey, Josh, there was five kids from IMG campus. How about you tell us about that?
Hey, Josh, there were five kids from IMG campus. How about you tell us about that?
Well, I singled out Trey Sanders and Evan Neal and wrote an insider on them for two reasons. One, they're both five stars. They're both, you know, two of the best players at their position. And then the other reason was they went separately from the other kids from IMG. They arrived on, they left Friday morning and got there. They arrived on campus about 1 p.m. They were greeted by the entire coaching staff. They came out of the Moore Center and greeted them. And then they went up and they sat in Taggart's office. The two of them spoke to Taggart kind of one on two, I guess that would be, not one on one. And then they went downstairs after that and, watched FSU practice. They hung out with Evan, and I was told that Evan Neal was very impressed with Chaz at offensive line. Spoke to somebody that was with him on the trip, and Evan was just surprised how big he had gotten, and he was kind of laughing because he looked very physical out there, and he was just like, you know, Chaz has never played offensive line until he got to Florida State, so this was all new to him, and I guess Evan was kind of getting a kick out of it, but Evan did think he looked good. And they spent the night, went to the game early, or got on campus early, went to the game, hung out with Trey McKitty, who's a former IMG player, and Chaz Neal after the game. I believe Sam Howell might have been with. There was a few guys with them. And after the visit ended, I spoke to a source that was directly with them on the visit, and I asked them, you know, what the message was, and he told me, he kind of changed the subject and said, well, the message shouldn't be playing time because these kids feel that they're going to get on the field wherever they go. And I said, Alabama? And they said, yes, there's Alabama's. I was told directly, Alabama's doing some things, maybe moving some guys that Evan has a shot at starting. And he just basically said, listen, doesn't matter what you or I think, Evan Neal and Trey Sanders believe that every school that they're looking at, they can go and play right away. He said, so whoever's trying to pitch them on early playing time, it's not there to be leveraged. They already know that they can play everywhere. So he said Willie Taggart did something good. He spoke on life after football. And Willie told them that the window of your life where you're playing football is so short, it's not the smartest thing to go through recruitment basing your decision strictly on playing time. I was told that's what resonated with Evan Neal. They talked about life after football and what the FSU Alumni Association can do and the power of the FSU network. And they spoke on those things. And I was in the end, I was kind of told, look, Willie needs them to get, FSU needs to give them a reason to go there. They're not playing that well on the field. They know the playing time's there. They like it. And I think Evan is going to come back for an official visit. He's got enough interest to where FSU is one of the primary schools for him. There's probably only three legitimate schools. I was told that he's going to go check out Oklahoma, but that's more of like mom wanting him to see something different and just experience it. But it's going to be Alabama, FSU, and Miami. You know, FSU is doing a good job with him for all the circumstances surrounding the program right now. And then Trey Sanders is more on the outside. FSU's more on the outside looking in for him. I think what I was told was LSU's much bigger of a player than people realize because everybody's kind of saying it's UF or Alabama. But I was told that, you know, LSU's definitely in the mix. Right now it just sounds like he's a little out of reach for Florida State. And it's kind of been that way since the spring.
Yeah, to add on Sanders, I was also told Texas is a player there. I was told he's actually a little more wide open than people give him credit for.
Yeah.
Which I can see. I've known Trey for several years. I can see that. If he kind of reset his recruitment, which it seems he has, certainly seems the case. A lot of people thought he was going to follow his brother Umstead to Florida. He's a walk-on redshirt at Florida this year. I don't think that's a done deal. I don't think it's just he's going to do that to do it. What FSU, the one thing they have going with Trey is he is from Port St. Joe, so he's not that far from here as far as home. But I don't think that's going to matter in the end. I don't think Trey is really attainable for FSU at this stage of the process. As far as Evan Neal, I observed him at Friday's practice, was watching from the baseball stadium before scrimmage. And it was interesting watching him interact with guys, especially someone like Trey McKitty. They have a very natural friendship. They got along well. They were chatting. They were joking. And Evan was attentive. He was taking it in. The other thing on Evan Neal, every time I see him, he looks better physically. It's amazing how good IMG's been for that kid as far as reshaping his body and getting in tip-top shape. He's always been a phenomenal player, very talented, top-tier kid. Everybody that's seen him throughout his high school career has known that. But physically, he's prepared to kind of walk through the door and contribute somewhere day one. But FSU's got work to do there. Mom loves Miami academics. That's kind of her school. She's going to let Evan make his own decision. I think right now Evan loves Alabama the most. I think he's a little bit in love with the process there and believes in it.
All right. I was criticized for being long-winded, but Josh went on for like 3 minutes there. Although it was good stuff, so whatever. Any insight on, I guess we already know Lucas and McCray are both really committed to Florida State, the Mikel Jones kid. Anything else on IMG guys before we move on?
No, I was told there was some confusion on the board whether or not Julio McCray made it in. He did. And he just didn't see him specifically, but he was there. No, I think the other, I don't want to say the other kids are backup plans. I think Florida State likes them a good bit. And I think they're very viable options coming toward the end of the season.
Yeah, I think if you were ranking the other guys, Charles Turner would be at the top of that list. One, because of need, the position. He could play a couple different spots on the offensive line. He's an LSU commitment. They've done a good job keeping him warm, keeping him interested. I wouldn't be shocked to see him come back for an official down the road, potentially.
No, I was told if he's invited on official, he's definitely going to take it. Talk to somebody that was with them. And Charles Turner likes Florida State a good bit. They got him on campus twice. This was his second visit, so an official visit would be his third. That's usually the recipe if you're gonna land a guy like that. So we'll see what happens with him.
All right, we're at 17 minutes. We're starting to lose Josh. I can feel it. Let's go. George Pickens, Akeem Dent, Sam Howell, Rashad Chaney. Those are unofficial visitors. Chaney's a defensive tackle commit, well, a former defensive tackle commit to Alabama. He just decommitted. Howell, obviously FSU commit, Akeem Dent, FSU commit, Pickens. FSU isn't going after a ton of wide receivers, but they really like him. So, guys, take it away on those four players there, please.
I'll start with Howell and Dent. Talked to both of them as they were leaving. Howell, I felt very good about him being firm. Again, he was a good recruiter when he was on campus. A guy like George Pickens really connects with him. It's excellent when those two are together because they would play together. Position-wise, it matters. Sam's fairly solid. I've kind of always contended as long as Walt Bell's here, I feel confident Sam will be here. That is still certainly the case. He intends to come back for Florida game for an official visit. Main reason he didn't come for an official here is he was originally supposed to play Friday. That ended up not happening, which is part of the reason he was able to take the unofficial. And then he had to get back Monday for his Army jersey presentation. Akeem Dent came with Mama, came with a few other members of the family. They're all happy. I mean, they're all pleased. Akeem's a guy that comes off as almost so he's already integrated into that football team. He's very close with a lot of guys on that team. He gets along with them. He interacts with them in a different kind of manner than your normal recruit, current player interaction. It's much more familiar with one another. Probably a lot of that has to do with his brother being on a team. From what I understand, there's been rumblings that, oh, his brother's not getting PT. His brother's a walk-on. I think we all understand what the situation is there. I've been told that the family and Akeem are fine with how that is going. Now, Akeem tries to come off saying he's 100% solid. I think he's very solid. I wouldn't put it at 100% where he's done. I think there are other schools that he's still kind of listening to, Bama, Clemson being two of the ones to be concerned with to some degree. But at the end of the day, I think he ends up a Seminole.
Yeah, I think my sentiments are very similar with Dent. I'm not going to jump out here like Wayne and tell you that he's a lock to sign. I mean, that's crazy. He admitted in the interview with Chris that he's talking to Clemson every day. I'm not saying he's going to sign with Clemson. I'm not saying he's going to sign with Alabama. But, like, this kid has not shut down his recruitment at all, and he's going to take visits. I do take him at his word that he's solid. You know, I don't think he's flipping from Florida State right now or anytime soon, and he may not. But, like, to say that he's a lock to Florida State, that's more than I can say. George Pickens came in. Not much different message with his recruitment than what we've been saying all along. This is going to be that FSU has to play the long game here. We didn't expect anything to change during the summer. I said nothing would change during the fall. And this was going to be a recruitment where Alabama and Florida State just keep chipping away and try to get a late flip on Pickens. The best thing about the visit was it was unofficial, and he brought his mom. So this was their second or third. This was Pickens' third visit to Florida State,
yeah,
and his mom's second.
Yeah, his mom came with him for Saturday Night Live, and she came back for this one. Mom interacts well with the staff. She's an alpha. She runs that thing. You know, a lot of times with Alabama kids, you worry, oh, can they leave the state? Can they deflect and handle all that stuff? With his mom involved in that situation and how she is, I don't think they'd have any problem making any decision that they feel is right.
Yeah, so I think the fact that they both came in on their own dime is basically a guarantee that they're going to come back in on an official. Florida State is doing what I think they should do with this, is bring him in as late as possible and work for that late flip. So extra things staying with Pickens, not much change there.
Yeah, another commitment that came in was Curtis Fan. We didn't catch up with him, but Kurt's a very solid commitment. He was on the field having a good old time before kickoff and hanging out, watching the D linemen work out. So he's another commitment that rolled through the door on Saturday.
Big James Blackman fan as well.
Is he really?
Yeah, he was really liking my tweets about James Blackman should start this week. So,
all right, we'll get into that before we finish this off. All right, people have questions. You guys have answers. Rapid fire it before we lose Josh. I'm going to start off, though, with a question I have, because I saw this on the message board a lot. The impact of a 59-10 loss.
Short term, not much. Uh-huh. Kids understand playing time's available. They're in a transition. You heard that from guys who exited here and spoke on it. Long term, if you keep losing in that manner and the results are poor, it does have an effect. But short term, it doesn't. I think people miss that concept when I wrote about it Saturday. I think people thought I meant that 59-10 meant that, oh, hope is lost, they can't do anything. No, the point is that when you're trying to do a sales job, it's a turnaround, transition. You need to have some results to show for it. And 59-10 had no results to show for it except for that your divisional rival owns your ass in your conference, which is a bad sign. Now, some kids think they can come in here and change that, and short-term, that's fine. But FSU keeps doing that into next season, the sales job gets drastically more difficult. At some point, losing becomes the fabric of your program, and that's a concern. You need to show some signs of progress to get kids to buy in. FSU's a great brand, but it can have a lasting effect.
All right, let's go. Question from Ryan Nagatz on Twitter here. A bigger chance to land, Evan Neal or Cardale Thomas? So that's better odds for FSU.
I think Neal.
Josh?
Wait, what was the combination of guys?
Oh, sweet. Say it again.
Not combination. Which guy do they have a better shot of landing, Evan Neal or Cardale Thomas?
Evan Neal.
All right, Josh, with me here. Five more minutes. Come on, buddy. Prius asks, with the current O-line combination, or with their current O-line recruiting and possible JUCO O-line additions that may come, how many new faces do you expect to see on the offensive line next year?
Boy, be careful what you ask for. That's all I got to say about that.
I think, well, obviously, we're probably going to see a new center.
Mm-hmm.
I think fairly good chance you see at least one new tackle. I think the safe number is probably three.
All right, speaking of offensive line, we did have a question about Josh Ball. Do we want to get into that right now, or do you want to save that for later?
I mean, Josh Ball, there are some things working there, but we've, you know, known about it for a while, but we can't really comment on it.
All right.
What people need to understand
it's not a secret at this point.
Yeah, yeah. What people need to understand,
can't really comment on it.
That situation is an FSU administration university decision over athletics at the end of the day. For him to get back in here and do what he wants to do, for that to be allowed, it has to go through that first. So it's not like athletics may want him and be on board for it, but ultimately it's not their call.
All right. Chase Riggers asked, the four-star running back that took the official visit really seemed to enjoy himself. Do you see a flip, and how could that impact Cardell? That's
we don't see a flip. We talked about that. I mean, it'd have to be something crazy happen down the stretch for LSU.
Yeah, I think it was eye-opening for Ty. It was an impressive place, but he's a Baton Rouge kid who wants to go to LSU. The only thing that could happen there is LSU could maybe recruit over him because they're after a lot of really good backs, John Emery, Trey Sanders, Noah Kane, a few to mention. Maybe somehow they recruit over him and kind of mess it up, screw it up in that manner. Not so much screwed up, but, you know, kind of sabotage Ty Davis to take others. Maybe that changes it, but nah, I don't see that happening. At the end of the day, I expect Ty Davis and Cardale Thomas to sign with LSU.
All right, Samir asks, I guess Brendan, but I'll throw it to you guys. I've been hearing rumors about Justin Fields possibly wanting to leave and FSU being a possible landing spot. Can you address those rumors? I think they're just rumors right now, guys.
This is the same stuff FSU fans got all upset about for the Ole Miss site, talking about Cam Akers. It's the exact same situation. Justin Fields has not entered his name in the portal. The rumors are basically just connecting the dots, which, you know, may happen after the season, of him not playing and all that. But I talked to Rusty Manziel. I've dug on it a little bit. You could understand where the unhappiness would come from, just as you could with Cam Akers. But Cam Akers certainly hasn't informed the staff that he's going to leave. He hasn't made that decision yet. It's just something that we'll monitor and see what happens after the season.
Yeah, UGA has a weird situation on their hands with Fromm and Fields on the roster, both expected there next year. Something's going to give there at some point, it seems like, but at this point it's just rumors, rumblings, and probably a little discontent that became public and turned into more than it really is.
If Fields was interested in Florida State, they'd be interested in him. But of course, it goes without saying. But that would inviting that guy to the quarterback room would not be pushed away.
Beyond Amari Gaynor and having visited here, there's no real connection for Fields to the staff either.
Willie met with Fields when he first got here, right, Josh?
Yep.
Rusty Dearman asks, "Yo, talk about." He tells us to talk about Kayvon's recruitment. That's Kayvon Thibodeau. Where things stand and the chances of us landing him.
Still feel pretty good about FSU. I think the biggest benefit for FSU is that he'd be more natural in their system than Bama, where he's more of a linebacker. And I think he's fine with the results on the field. I don't think he's a kid that's obsessed with that. If he was, he'd already be off the board to Alabama.
Yeah, Oregon kind of made things interesting. I definitely think they're more of a player than they were before his official visit. But at the end of the day, he did not make a rash decision like he said he was going to do, where he's going to move his commitment date up. He actually moved it back. So I think it's still going to come down to FSU or Alabama.
All right, last question I'll have for you guys here, and then we'll finish it off. Right now, FSU's 10th nationally. Do you think this still ends up being a top 10 class based on where they're trending right now?
Probably not, unless they were. I think numbers-wise, just rankings-wise, unless they're able to land Kayvon Thibodeau, I think if they can land the number one player in the nation, that might give them enough juice to finish like 8 or 9, maybe 7, if they really recruit well down the stretch. I just think there's a ceiling on this class with the way that the record is on the field. I said before the season started, if this could be a 9-win team, I think it's like a top 5 class. It's a far cry from a 9-win team, so I think it probably finishes inside the top 15, but I'd say there's a slim chance that they can get in the top 10 if they don't land Thibodeau.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Josh. I think Tibbs is a guy that gives you some momentum. You need to close out on guys like Putnam, Davis, pull off a guy like maybe an Evan Neal. You'll compete for a very high ranking if you can pull some of those.
Right.
But at this point, let's be honest, that seems like a 50-50 proposition on getting those 4, so maybe you get two of them. So they can contend for top 10, but it's going to be tough. They're already looking at some Plan B types at linebacker. It wouldn't shock me if we see that develop with the offensive line. Plus, you have the concern during funny season, as we like to call it, December, January, of, like, say, a guy like Charles Cross or Akeem Dent, you know, ending up elsewhere. I'm not saying they're going to. I'm saying you don't know what's going to happen in that short span of time when things get really wild. You could always lose one of those top guys that currently is a pillar of this class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a slim chance that they get there to 7 or 8. You know, 9 or 10 is probably an optimistic outlook right now, best case finish. I think that would be good. But, you know, somewhere in the top 15 is probably where they finish.
All right, speaking of slim chance, and we'll end it on this note, Slim Reaper, yay or nay for starting at NC State this week?
I'm game for it. I want to see how the team responds to a change at that position.
Hell yes. I think it's vitally important to understand what you have in James Blackman heading into the offseason. If Sam Howell, I'm just mixing up my two favorite.
What up, Rude?
That's the super recruit that I'm going to cover for the next 2 months is Sam Fields. If Sam Howell gets here in January and you didn't play James Blackman in a real game, you know, from start to finish, how do you really know? I'm going to be excited to see him start. I don't think that it means immediate returns in terms of play on the field, But I just think, like, all right, let's see what we got with James Blackman.
I agree. I think you have to take a look at it. That's well put, Josh. A lot of people think he's going to be, you know, a savior for this offense if he comes in. That's really unfair. Maybe it's something all right. But
it's totally unfair.
It is.
Because I don't think the play on the field is going to improve that much.
No, what you hope for is that, you know, some of the read option concepts are better with him and that guys mm-hmm. play harder with him. I think the overriding theme, though, for me that's important is that a lot of people within the program are excited about what James can be long term, and they're excited about what he can be as a leader. For a team that's really lacked that sort of guidance this year, that's where he can make his biggest impact if he does end up playing.
Plus, if I'm James Blackman, and in a season where things have gone as bad as they did, and you didn't get a fair shot at going in, I'm leaving the program, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's something you – I think at this point, Florida State runs the risk of losing one of its two quarterbacks that it currently has on the roster. But you might as well see what you have in both before you commit to one or the other moving forward.
Yeah. So I'm excited, maybe for different reasons than a lot of people, but I'm excited nonetheless.
All right, guys. And if you heard a toilet flushing in the background, that's just, you know.
Media workroom, baby.
Media workroom, and I feel like indicative of how we feel right now. So,
Brennan, I thought you did a great job. I went ahead and rated you 5 stars on iTunes. I think all of our members and listeners should jump on the iTunes account and rate us 5 stars, right? We deserve it. This is a 5-star podcast, Brendan.
I'm going to hang up on you, Josh. Is that okay?
Don't ask him. Just do it.
Oh, yeah.
Chris, end it for us. Stick the landing. Do it.
Real quick. Tonight, Aubrey Boyd benefit for the basketball exhibition. They play Valdosta State. Last exhibition before the regular season. Free parking, free to get in. You can drop a little money in the charity box for Aubrey. Good dude, FSU guy. Something that FSU, especially Coach Hamilton, has been behind for, I think, 18 years now. So definitely go ahead and do that if you want to get out tonight and enjoy yourself, have a beer at the Tucker Center and relax. So that's about it. Thanks for listening to the pod.
They have Fat Tire there, guys.
I'll be up at NC State on Saturday while Brendan hangs out with his dog. And we'll see you guys Monday.